Welcome back to the We Don't Know Sports Podcast. This is Chad the Mark with
Greg freaking Rolling.
I keep telling myself GFR because I can't forget, because that's so much easier too. But I do like
the if you just want to put Greg, that's fine.
Greg.
Yeah, Greg.
Right, can I put old Greg?
Yeah, but like flute, Greg.
Right? Yes, it's exactly right. Where is everybody?
Well, one of Biggie's 18 kids had a birthday.
Yes, they went out to a very nice Italian place that you frequented not too long ago. I think that's where
they went.
I think they went to Sergio's.
Nice. Well, then it was a good
night. You said that like he went to Jared's.
Exactly. So a good time with that boss. I understand. Son Isaac turned 19 today.
Man, that makes me feel old as hell.
Yeah.
Old as hell.
I mean, mine's turning 17 next month.
How's that feel?
I feel old.
I got one going to college in the
fall. She drives me around now. So it's
That's nice.
Yeah, it's like driving old Papa in the back seat.
At what point can you stop being 100% a parent and you get to start becoming friends with your kids?
I think once they're above age and they've established themselves and are productive.
They show a little self-reliance.
They're productive human beings in society. At that point, now I'll become your friend.
They don't want
now. Now I realize you're not going to live with me forever.
You got to be out of the house.
I think that's fair.
I need you to sign that lease because, and then we can have a beer together.
I think because between the ages of 16 to 22, you're trying to establish, am I your friend or am I still your parent? Because I worked my ass off for the last 35 years and I'm not trying to work anymore.
It just depends on the kids, right? Yeah. Like, you know, there's ones that you know that they got it together. They're going to be okay. You know, and then there's the ones, it's like the baby bird. You just throw them out of the nest and hope they fly. And if they hit the ground, well, I did my best I could.
Yeah. It's Darwinism.
It's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Speaking of Darwinism and evolution of things, I want to give a quick pub to our other episode where we had a phenomenal interview with an event you got to go to couple years ago, or last year, right?
Yeah, twice.
The Savannah Bananas. We had the Dancing Umpire. How would you describe his take on everything?
So it was amazing. Charisma off the charts. I guess if I had to compare him to a wrestler, it'd be like Kevin Owens.
I like that.
Because he's bigger, but he's very athletic. And he's out here doing splits, and I don't even think my daughter, who's been in cheer for 6 years, can do a full split.
And he might be a prize fighter like Kevin Owens.
No, exactly.
We found that out
too. He was like, listen. You gonna come at me now? They make rules after me now.
They do. But I want to talk wrestling because we had an amazing AEW pay per view. Sting retired, but in the nature of baseball and talking to the Dancing Umpire, we kind of got into a couple topics that was kind of interesting to me, and it was the fan experience you get with the Bananas and maybe compared to other sports.
Right.
And we talk about, we've seen it. Every time I go to a Reds game, I see people waiting in the parking garage trying to get autographs as players are driving in. And I'm sure some of that can be annoying. But then I see our buddy Padre Bod down in Arizona.
Yeah,
and that fan experience looks amazing. But spring training's a little different.
Yeah, spring training's different.
And not everybody gets to go to spring training. But I would say that after talking to him and kind of seeing that perspective, a lot of professional leagues could take a little page out of their book and have a little bit better interaction with the fans, or do fans go too crazy now? And is that just wishful thinking?
No, I think that honestly, if MLB would kind of play their stage as if they're in spring training during the regular season, then I think they would be just fine. I don't expect MLB to be as engaging as the Savannah Bananas because they are what they are for a reason.
But we have talked about how they do a bad job of getting their stars, out there. And what's crazy is how many conversations have we had about baseball where it's like, man, what a time to be a fan. There's so many young players out there. The talent's amazing. It really is. And it seems like every year there's more. How's this happening? It's turned into the NBA draft in the 95 to 2005 era, where every year stars were coming into the league.
Right.
And you've gotten that with Major League Baseball over the last 5 to 10 years?
Yeah. And I think part of the problem is with MLB is they have the worst broadcasting rights in all of sports, because if you might be blocked out in several different markets with between 6 to 8 hour radius. And then you don't even get to watch your home team. So it's kind of frustrating because even if fans can't afford to go to the ball game because they're outpriced, at least let them watch the damn their home team on whatever app they paid for so they can still follow their favorite players.
I don't think a black I think in today's world, do you think a blackout really influences attendance?
No, not at all.
They're either going to go or they're not.
Yeah.
If you put a good product on the field.
Yeah. So your plan is you're either going to go to the game or you're going to watch the game. You knew that all along.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a baseball fan, you're a baseball fan. You're not going to turn away a game can go.
It's bullshit.
And if it's not on TV, in today's age, man, you can just go to Google and find a stream of it somewhere. Like,
yeah, I mean, you're going to find a stream. Even if you go on Facebook groups, they have streams. I mean,
let's talk about it like it happens.
At the end of the day, though. Like, your owner, clearly, if he's not trying to win but just pocket profits, then you should be able to watch every damn game you want to watch at home. I mean, like, it shouldn't matter if they're planning on going or not. Like, if I'm a Pirates fan, I should be able to sit and watch it in my living room.
But why would you want to?
I'm just saying. If they want to watch it on TV and not go to the stadium.
I agree 100%. So that's something we would like to see change, but I don't know if it ever will. But, again, back to the fan interaction and whatnot, like – you know, can we get something out of that and maybe take it back to the other leagues? That'd be great. Like you said, spring training. Can we make that last longer? Like that feeling. I know some teams probably feel that way because the A's probably have more people at spring training than they do at home this year.
I agree.
But more intimate, I guess, is what we're looking for without sacrificing fan attendance.
Well, I mean, I will say going to Atlanta several times, there's several players that will sign for the fans before every game on the field, but it's usually the lower tier players.
Right.
You're never going to have Acuna down there signing.
There's other guys running interference. You're not getting the Acuna.
I'm just saying, but like MLB could take a page out of their playbook because that's why people who don't like baseball love this sport because there's a reason. So maybe if you could not change the game, but maybe tweak your advertising.
That would be a step in the right direction. Right. I can agree with that. But that's exciting for anybody that's a Savannah Bananas fan. Listen to that interview because that's a blast. But the other stuff I kind of wanted to ask about, we're getting close to March. How confident are you even filling out a bracket for March Madness? Because we're talking about the show, and you're like, I don't want to talk about college basketball. I don't want to talk about college basketball either. But that being said, I just was curious, how little of it have you followed this year?
Well, West Virginia is really bad.
They're very bad.
We knew they were going to be really bad before the season started. And they have like 9 active players, whatever they got now.
They did have a guy score 36 points last night.
That's great.
They lost.
So since it was going to be like a bare bones crew for old WVU in the Big 12 this
expectations
year,
expectations were
after
the
Bob Huggins, I was just like, nah, I ain't really watching much. So I'm going to fill out a bracket blindly.
That's pretty. I mean, we do any research or are you just going to roll?
No, I'm just going to roll with it.
Like, I don't even know, like who Cinderella's are, things like that. I mean, it's ridiculous. The only thing I know is the Big 12 has like 10 ranked teams.
Maybe just go with somebody to win out of the Big 12.
Just pick all the Big 12 and you might be okay.
Every time they're favored, just pick them.
Right. Did you see any of the stuff Nick Saban said this week about why he retired and things like that? It's kind of, I think, why you see, Coach K hung it up. Jim Boeheim hung it up. Like, everybody's gone.
I would assume it's because of the ever-changing landscape of college athletics.
That's it, yeah. But the way he was talking about it was
– all these old heads, man, are making their way out because they don't like this change.
But you know what his perspective was? This is the way he put it. He said, it used to be, you would talk to a kid about character and development and becoming a better person along with being an athlete. And now, anytime you talk to somebody, they just have two questions. How much playing time am I going to get?
How much money? And
how much money? That's it. And you think about guys who recruited the other way for so long. It's like the job description changed.
It flipped the switch completely.
So these guys are bound out of it. But Saban, he's not pulling any punches. He's being honest about how he felt. And I mean,
imagine Nick Nolte in today's game.
You talking about blue chip Nick Nolte?
Yeah. Like, it just came a little late for him, son. He'd win at all costs, but he didn't want to get exposed.
Did you see where Johnny Manziel said?
I saw that.
He was going to.
At the end of the day, who really cares about Johnny Manziel anymore?
I mean, do you think it has any sway? He's talking about one. If you don't know, it's about Reggie Bush getting his Heisman back.
Right. So First of all, it has zero sway because no one gives a shit who Johnny Manziel is.
Yeah, you're a man of high moral standing, Mr. Manziel. I'm sure you're going to sway the Heisman Trust.
Oh, well, if Manziel don't sign off on this, we better give him his trophy back. Said no one ever.
Manziel, I'm not showing. I'm not going to be in the Heisman House commercials.
Everybody at the Heisman is like, guess what? Our cost per person just went up.
Everybody's per diem went down.
That's what I'm thinking.
Damn Nissan Heisman House.
Yeah, they're like, hey, congrats.
Who gets?
I get one more margarita.
Who gets the empty bedroom? Does Archie Griffin get it because he won it twice?
Yes.
That's my vote. I don't know. I don't think they even put him in the Heisman commercials. They should. I feel like it's always Barry Sanders and Baker Mayfield's in there a lot.
Yeah, and Charles Woodson.
Charles Woodson. You know, I tried to get his he does wine. Did you know that? Yeah.
Cali?
Yeah. And I had messaged him on Instagram, and he actually responded because I was like, for the show, you know, wouldn't it be cool if we had like some of Charles Woodson wine?
Yeah.
And we had like a tasting, like we're sommeliers or whatever.
Where are we at with this?
Is that the right word?
Yes.
Sounds right.
Let's just say it's connoisseur.
Connoisseur? Yeah. Carnivore?
Carnivore, connoisseur.
We would carnivore these wines that Charles Woodson was going to send us, but legally, he can't send it to our state.
Oh, that's right. I remember you telling me that.
This is some horse shit. I mean, I just thought it'd be, but anyway, how about that for a life after football? Go make some wine. That's
what Tom Seaver did too.
Did he really?
Yeah, he has Seaver Orchards out in Cali.
Hmm. Do you know much about the wine? I'm not a wine snob.
I'm not. I'm actually friends with his daughter on Facebook, and she was posting about going out there and in the vineyards out there. And then I happened to be seeing a picture of Seaver and somebody was with Seaver. I don't remember who it was. Another icon. But anyways, there's out there at his orchard.
They're just out there picking grapes?
Yeah, and I was just having a great day, I'm sure.
I would say you should ask her to send you a bottle of his wine, but they won't, because we're in a stupid state.
Yes.
That's okay.
Moonshine only.
Yeah, how's it we can do that? But I can't get Charles Woodson to send me some wine. Some wine.
Only that white lightning.
You can make it in your bathtub, but we can't put it in the mail.
That's right.
Did you watch any of the AEW pay-per-view?
No, I was living through you guys.
I went up to Harp Attacks.
I'm sure.
Had a great time. And, you know, we talked a lot about it's a good time to be a wrestling fan. You know, we were talking about with the umpire from the Bananas, John Cena, you know, got to do a little run in there. Like, that's the crossover element they have. And it's all about entertainment. But right now, it's such a good time to be a wrestling fan. And we had Sting's last match. And I guess my question is, what memories do you have of not the Roxanne, not that guy, but the icon?
I don't remember that one.
Good. You don't need to listen to
when was that?
Sting?
Yeah.
You don't know the song Roxanne?
I know that song.
Oh, that's Sting.
Oh, my bad.
From the Police.
My bad.
I said, make sure we're talking about the right Sting.
Oh, so you pulled an R-Truth
talking about a man called Sting.
The icon. You pulled the R-Truth on me.
I came out in a Royal Rumble with a ladder.
So,
but no, what memories do you have of Sting? Do you remember, you know,
remember Beach Sting at all because I wasn't into wrestling that early. I remember Sting as the outlier who was fighting against the NWO and the WCW
single-handedly.
Yes. And then I don't know. Everyone online loves the Joker Sting. I never saw him in TNA. Yeah. But I thought it was hilarious. Not hilarious, but we come full circle when he comes out against Triple H at WrestleMania after he said he'd never go to WWE. So then I love that little section there because of what was never going to happen. So that's really probably my two biggest memories.
I hated that Triple H went over him at WrestleMania.
I know.
That's
because you had NWO came out to help Sting.
Yeah, because it was like we formed a bond through battle.
There was a WCW bond.
It's right.
And then you had DX come out and helped Triple H.
So what I find interesting is if you don't know who Sting is as a wrestler, you were a big NWO fan.
Oh, yeah.
Black and white whole way, right?
Yeah, right.
And Sting was like this one guy that warred the whole group.
Yeah.
Like, that's how big they booked Sting.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he was the one single fear that Hogan and his 10 cronies had, because he'd be up in the rafters looking like Crow.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, they said that was an accident. They didn't mean to do that.
I don't believe that. How do you not mean to do that?
It's clearly a cop.
You didn't mean to put him up in the rafters?
They didn't mean to dress him exactly like this movie character?
Okay.
That too.
It's kind of odd.
But he came out and had this wonderful send-off match. His sons came out with him. Did you see any of that?
I saw today in a meme that they actually wore the same outfit that Sting wore when he wore those characters.
Yeah, the wolf pack and then the surfer
Sting.
Yeah.
You said they were probably in their 20s. I didn't see it, but it's pretty amazing.
They're not wrestlers.
Right.
They're athletic, though. And Wolfpack Sting, he got some hops. I'll give him that. They were doing the Stinger Splash. But, you know, most wrestlers, you go out on your back. You know, you don't win your last match. He ends up winning, retires as a tag team champion, and that's it. He's done. And the legacy's over. But it was such a big deal that on Monday Night Raw, they mentioned it on the air that he had his last match.
Are you serious?
How big is that?
They said that?
Yes.
Wow.
Pat McAfee and Michael Cole.
They both
acknowledged it.
That's impressive.
I don't think that would have happened a year ago.
No, I don't think so either. Mm. I mean, I think that the realizes right there that they know they're the superior brand.
Yeah.
And then it don't matter.
Shouldn't be afraid.
Yeah, they clearly shouldn't be afraid. I think that's really, honestly, if you want to look at it this way, it's a slap in the face to them because they know they're just better.
Dude, ever since that
I'm not saying the product's better.
Well, it's not bad.
No.
But ever since that merger with UFC, like I can see why they formed one company.
No, it's gotten better.
And you've even had, I don't know who he is because I don't follow UFC that well, but they had somebody challenge Conor McGregor on an episode of Raw. Like, that cross promotional thing's amazing. And that's all tied to ESPN. And
right.
I mean, it's wild. But I'll give them credit for the way the business is going right now. And are you happy The Rock's back? Does that have you interested at all? Or
I don't like The Rock back. I mean, obviously it's going to pique interest because he's back, but
doesn't do anything for you.
It's not the same Rock that was like. It's hard for me to believe after all the public media attention with Hawaii and the nonsense.
Like if it was 2 years ago, it'd feel a lot different, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, but like the fact he's already out here talking about trailer park trash, and we know he's a billionaire almost. I'm like, yeah, it just ain't the same. Like, it don't feel the same to me.
They had they used to do this back in the 90s like crazy, but somebody had a sign that said "Die Rocky, Die."
Right.
And they kept trying to avoid showing it on TV. Even though he's a heel, but that's too much. You can't say things like that now.
I honestly think now with the direction that WWE's going that they didn't need The Rock. Like, I don't feel like that. I almost feel like it's almost passed him by.
I mean, I agree. But I think that's why they're doing it, right? Because they already know, like,
we probably
should have already done this. Right. And now we haven't. But, you know, you talk about just, like, eyes being on the sport of wrestling. And then we talked about the time with the UFC, combat sports in general. I don't care what anybody says. I agree with what Mike Tyson says. Jake Paul is good for boxing. And Mike Tyson must really think that because this happened today that they announced, was it in June or July? July.
On Netflix.
Jake Paul, Mike Tyson at the Jerry's World.
And on Netflix.
Yeah, Netflix. This is their first foray into this type of thing. So like they're going to rather make or break their decision to do things like this forever.
You keep talking. I got to get a refill.
All right, we'll just stop till you come back. This long pause has been brought to you by Big Timber IPA, brewed in the heart of Elkins, West Virginia. Yeah, you're good. You can talk to the mic again. It's fine. Your mouth is no longer dry.
I'm good now.
You are no longer. What were you say? You were famished?
Yes.
Perched? Perched? Parched?
Is that what it means?
Perched is a fish.
Arched means my mouth dry?
I believe it's parched.
Maybe.
Survey says? Nobody's listening.
I'm going to chalk it up to my accent. I got it right.
Bices.
That's right.
But I wanted to, we were talking about wrestling and UFC and all that shit, right? But today they talked about Tyson and Paul. That's a big fight. That's you're interested in that, right?
I'm very interested, but here's the thing. Like, Paul keeps picking these. Obviously, Tyson is as well. But now we're talking about a different level of over the hill. He obviously picks his opponents that aren't in a prime, right?
Yeah. Well, the last couple of fights, he's fought some people we've never heard of.
Right.
And it hasn't been as big of a draw. Right. But I think that's what he's been trying to do is box boxers
right.
to get better.
But, like, what happens now if 55 or however old he is?
I think he's 57.
Mike
Tyson, will be 57.
Mike Tyson just come in and pummels this kid. So then what? It's over.
It's, I don't know. I hope
it's gotta be over.
First of all, I don't know how the Texas Athletic Commission is allowing it, because just on paper to have a 30-year advantage. I mean,
you saw Rocky Balboa. The same thing happens in Las Vegas.
That's a movie. And that's Vegas. Anything happens in Vegas. Exactly. They don't care.
Jerry's World. We're almost there.
Like, think about like why they're doing it in Jerry's World. Like, they're going to fill the place up. Like, yeah. for a boxing match. I mean, that's incredible.
This is an exhibition.
But this is
the damn towel.
So will it be? You know what I mean? Like, are they going to hit each other in the head? Or is somebody?
Oh,
gonna,
absolutely.
Like, are they going to fight?
I don't think Tyson would have signed up for this unless it was like, we're just going to box. Because if Tyson, here's my problem, and I'll take it all back if I see it and I see what happens. But Tyson has his own, he made so much money boxing. He has his own cannabis company. He's doing really well. At least that's what I read.
He's redeemed himself.
So
quite a bit.
Point is, if Tyson would just chase this for the money and make it look like it's respectable, I'll lose a lot of respect. I want Tyson to go in first round and destroy this guy in 30 seconds.
We all want to see Iron Mike Tyson. We want to see the baddest man on the planet.
If I feel like he's just taking the money and made it respectable, I'm going to lose a lot of – not that it matters to Mike.
So
he's not going to lose no sleep.
Do you think he'd take a dive?
I think him taking a dive means he lets it go the distance and he wins in a decision. You see what I'm saying?
I
ain't gonna mean he's getting docked out.
I think that's why there's so much intrigue around this, is because the reality is no one knows how it's gonna go down.
There is no way that Paul's gonna knock out Mike Tyson.
Dude, you're 57.
I don't care.
You've been hitting the head a lot.
Yeah, which means he can take it.
No, it doesn't. Yeah. It's the opposite. You can't keep doing that.
Sure you can.
That's why later in your career people go down so easy, because now their brain's wired differently. They know they need to save themselves.
So you're trying to say that Paul's a better boxer than Mike Tyson?
That is not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is Tyson could just take one hit and it could be night.
Yeah, it could be.
I mean, I'm just saying, you're not.
And like Wayne's World says, that monkeys might fly out of my ass.
They might. I know this much. I've seen Tyson train in this last year.
It looks scary.
I don't want him to get within an arm's reach of me at all.
No.
Like, I don't want to even get in the clinch with that guy. Because one, who knows? He could bite your ear off. I mean, I don't think he will. I think that Mike Tyson's gone. And part of that, because that Mike Tyson's gone, I know we want to see the baddest man on the planet, but I don't know what that looks like anymore.
Who did he fight last in a charity thing?
So it's funny you bring that up. There's Roy Jones Jr. And you know who else fought on that card was Jake Paul and Nate Robinson.
Oh, yeah.
And he knocked Nate Robinson out.
But, I mean, it would have been better if he had knocked out like Roy Jones Jr.
This was 4 years ago. But that Mike Tyson-Roy Jones Jr. fight, I don't know if it was in the rules, but they didn't hit each other in the face.
Yeah, and Tyson didn't look that crisp.
But he won.
I know, but once the fight started, it wasn't Iron Mike Tyson.
Right, but
if you're saying that's 4 years ago?
That's 4 years ago.
That's scary.
But and here's the thing. Roy Jones Jr. is one of the best technical boxers.
Yeah, so like, it's a real boxer.
Right. So Tyson's not going to go in there. But that being said, no matter what anybody says, Jake Paul's a boxer. I know people don't want to hear that. People don't like to hear that. But if you go watch him, when he fight, the only person he's lost to was Tommy Fury, who is a boxer.
Yeah.
And it was a close bout. Like,
there was nothing in there that said Fury had to win that fight.
Right.
I'll give you that.
So, and this is a guy that's trying. Like, yeah, you're going to take the big payday.
Right.
But, you know, like Tyson said, he had him on a card before. It's good for boxing. Right. It might make it more of the spectacle and you want more of the crossover. You know, I get all that. But I think it goes the distance. And I think if it goes the distance and Paul wins, it's an ugly, ugly fight. But if it goes the distance and Tyson wins, Tyson probably had three rounds of just what you're talking about.
Now, I don't think if Tyson has those type of rounds that Paul's standing at the end. I just don't.
I don't know. Like, I don't know what to predict.
Like, here's the thing. Like,
you know, he's favored by like Paul is 65%. Oh, yeah. Really? Clear easily.
Oh, wow.
Now, how much of that is people might think it could be a fix? Yeah.
So you're saying that right now Paul is a 65% favorite.
I posted it earlier somewhere. Let me.
All right. Find while you're looking it up. So like for me with Tyson, I feel like if Tyson has a few good rounds, because like you said, if anybody gets caught at 57, you might go down. But let's say Tyson gets inside and hits him a good few rounds. I think he wins that bout.
I was wrong. Jake Paul is favored, but the implied win probability is 83.33%.
For Paul.
He's a minus 500. That was according to DraftKings this morning.
Oh, my God. So I just need to go on DraftKings and pick Tyson.
Yeah. Like, here's the thing. I'm not, like, trying to show you this and be like, you're wrong, Greg.
No.
You don't know shit.
I'm going to go bet now.
I'm just saying, like, anything could happen. Anything could happen. And – The money's, I don't know. We'll see that line move. There's no
83% on Paul against Mike Tyson.
That's the win problem.
I'm taking that right now.
How much you putting down?
I'll put at least 500.
We'll put down the car, the truck, the four-wheeler, the house.
That's right.
The dog.
Let me pay off the four-wheeler and I'll immediately put it on the line.
What?
Yeah. I'll buy a Stone Cold ET mask.
You like that Stone Cold ET.
I love it.
What would you do if it was back in the day and you were working the drive through at McDonald's and
Stone Cold? The dude rolled up. First of all, I said, if I'm going to work here, I don't deal with the public. I only cook only that burger. The grill.
Don't trade me on that register.
Yeah, I said, I ain't doing that because I'm smart enough, but damn it, I ain't dealing with you crazies.
You know, I think modern day, like high school kids, if they had to see the cash register that had to be used at McDonald's back in the day, they'd have a stroke.
I think so.
Yeah, there was no screen on it. It just looked like a VTech computer with plastic buttons all over it. And somebody would write on there like, this is how you do a Big Mac. It was nonsense.
Back it up. So with those odds, who you taking? You're going to Paul, aren't you?
I probably would.
All right.
Like I don't want to like the Paul brothers, but damn it, they are entertaining.
Fact checker back there. Paul or Tyson?
Who would you take? Paul's different. Jake, sorry.
He's 83% favorite to win. All right.
He's actually trained as a boxer now.
So I am in the minority for Tyson 1 versus 2 Pauls. But like I said, I put a little bit down on it.
I'd go the other way. I reserve the right to change my mind as it gets closer. All it takes is like one training montage of Mike Tyson for me to be.
We're going to see.
I'll be like,
from that now to July.
You don't know. You know how it is.
I already saw one today.
They'll put out them hype videos. You know what I mean?
You right now. I'm putting money down tonight.
So what do you think about this being on Netflix?
I mean, that's where we're trending. So I'm not opposed to it because I already have Netflix.
The only thing I know Netflix has done live has been like comedy specials, like the Chris Rock one.
Right.
Like, Will Smith is a bitch.
I feel like with Netflix getting wrestling coming up.
Oh, that's right.
The trial run.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't it be?
I mean, what if they are the ones that all of a sudden swoop in and are the leaders in live entertainment?
Free world.
Like we already see Amazon and Peacock going all in on the NFL.
All right.
Like what's stopping Netflix from doing that?
Nothing.
Not a damn thing.
Right. They have way better, like they have amazing original programming. So they've already got that platform.
Who do you think has the best out of like Netflix and HBO Max or Disney Plus or whatever? Like who do you think has the best OG content?
I'm a big Yellowstone fan.
But that was
Paramount.
I guess
that's
Paramount just because of Yellowstone.
But even the spinoffs.
I don't know what else they have outside of Yellowstone and spinoffs and Bar Rescue. I love Bar Rescue.
No, I get it. But then, like, honestly, if you're just going for a little bit of everything, it's probably Netflix for me.
The documentaries is what sucks me in.
Yeah.
I love a good documentary.
Yeah.
You need to watch Chimp Empire. It's amazing.
Chimp Empire.
Yeah. It's like 6 episodes. And these two chimp tribes go to war with each other.
You told me about that.
Yeah, that's amazing. You got to watch it. You'd be proud of me. I did watch a movie that you had asked me to, and I'd been putting it off.
Which one?
I take a guess.
I can't remember what I've told you.
True Romance.
Oh, that was a Cheryl reference.
Yeah. I didn't even know it was written by Tarantino.
Yeah.
But once I started watching it, you could tell very quickly.
Yeah.
And man, like Christian Slater was a guy for a minute in the 90s, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. He was.
You know who played his imaginary Elvis in that?
She just told me.
Who'd you say? No. It's Val Kilmer. Val Kilmer plays Elvis, but you never really see his face. It's just him talking and singing.
So, like, was it better than you thought it would be?
I think it met appropriate expectations.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes
an older movie.
Right. Sometimes for Tarantino, I can get a little overhyped because I like his work so much. But after I got comfortable in there, and I thought, is it Patricia Arquette?
Yes, that's
right. She
was a good character.
She kind of made the movie. Right. She was great. And they were crazy. They're just crazy people. Everything was crazy. Christopher Walken in it. And then my boy, James Gandolfini, Tony Soprano.
Yeah.
He did work in that movie, son. That was good. That was good
stuff. Is that what made it for you?
I love The Sopranos. And, you know, you don't get to see anything. Like, the saddest stuff in the world for me is I'll get down these rabbit holes on The Sopranos, and there'll be like a reunion, and they're all talking. And everybody's always fucking crying because Tony's dead.
Yeah.
James Gandolfini died in Rome, of all places. But like, everybody revered him so much, but like, we lost that. And he was such a good actor, but he was on The Sopranos so long, we don't have like this whole like book of work there. So when I watch True Romance, it lit me up, man. That was good.
Yeah, there you
got
go.
Got me right in the feels.
It's good.
It's good shit.
So it served a purpose.
It did. I appreciate the recommendation because I can't say I would have sought out a movie from 1992 or whenever it was.
Yeah.
And been like, I think I'm going to watch this.
I know.
I'll do that with movies in the 60s.
Yeah.
Sometimes those are fun.
Oh, wow.
Like, I told you about watching the original 13 Ghosts, right?
I have not seen it, but I love the last one.
Yeah. It's loosely based.
Yeah.
Trust me, in the 60s, they did not have quite the elaborate house full of traps.
But it would have been still, it's a fun time still.
It's campy, cheesy. Yeah. It's a horror movie from the 60s.
Kind of like Evil Dead.
They have a warning. It's worse or better.
Yeah.
Depending on your take. But they have a, like a thing at the beginning where they tell you, they advise you, maybe if you find this uncomfortable, now would be a good time to leave the theater.
Oh, nice.
And they
don't do that anymore.
They gave you three.
See how comfortable, like how just looking out for you they are.
They gave you 3D glasses that if you wore them, you could see all the ghosts. But if you didn't wear them, you couldn't see the ghosts. So if you were a big baby, you just didn't wear the glasses in the theater, and you didn't get us scared.
Nice.
And if you watch this, you will not be scared, I promise.
I'll be all about them glasses, baby. Come on now.
The good news is if you watch it now, if you pull it up on our streaming devices, it shows you what it would be like with the glasses. So it's the full effect.
Did you like the new one as well?
I actually liked it a lot. And it's got like terrible ratings, right?
It does.
Sometimes you just watch a movie at a certain time in your life and it just hits the spot. And I'll be the first to say, Matthew Lillard, I like everything I guess. I don't know why. Like SLC Punk and do you remember Hackers? Did you ever see Hackers back in the day?
Vaguely.
Those are the best movies to go back and rewatch, like that and The Net with Sandra Bullock. Like, because the internet was brand new, so we're going to make a movie about it in the mid-90s about how the government's coming after you. It's so great. It's like, you remember in Scream how she called 911? She did it on her computer.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. She
like AOL?
Well, yeah. And I'm telling you, man, not once
in my life. Was there an AOL like section where you could report an emergency?
I don't know. All I'm saying is not once in my life have I ever seen somebody text 911.
Oh, wow.
Not once.
Never.
But yet Neve Campbell's doing it in Scream.
And that was like mid to late 90s.
You know what I thought?
What?
Well, they fucking live in Hollywood. They probably do have that.
They already have it.
They're in California.
Yeah.
That was a rich white neighborhood.
Back then, it's probably a pager.
No, they probably, it was California, and they probably had DSL out there already.
They might have.
That was not bad, actually.
Exactly.
I like the facial expressions made it for me.
So people that don't know what that means don't understand.
Oh, they know. Real ones know. Real ones, though. Just like right now, they're going back and watching Scream to see how you can text 911. But I think that does a good wrap for the show tonight, man. I missed everybody this week, but I feel like you and me always do a good time when we're just hanging out.
We held it down.
And maybe you did a baseball autograph giveaway. It's a
great interview.
Dude, yeah, great interview. Make sure you guys check that out. We got plenty of time. Maybe we'll play some jam.
8:45. We could.
Play some jams. Play some NBA jam.
That's right.
And we'll have a good old time. All right, everyone. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your week. Make sure you subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Make sure you check out the secondary episode with the great interview of the dancing umpire from Savannah Bananas. This is Chad the Mark with Greg Freakin' Rollins signing off. Until next time, bye-bye.